Good afternoon, everybody. Am I audible? Because, yeah, it's fine. Okay, so I and my team have been working on detection of aggressive behavior in social media for, we together are working for last 1 month. And so I've been working on this for the almost last 2.5 years. So let me begin with introducing my team to you. So I'm Ritesh, and Aishwarya, Ram, Purav, and Akshit. So they have been working with me. And Tushar is unfortunately not here because of certain unfortunate incidents in home, but he too has been working with us on this. Okay, so before we go any further, I would like to begin with a video. This video was done by The Guardian, and it was done only last month. So they came up with the thing called Facebook Files, and where they discuss how Facebook moderates the comments. And there have been a lot of shocking revelations in those files and how they do moderation. But this is a very nice video that they come up with to describe the kind of problem that we face.
Suspect wanted for murder who shared video of the crime on
gang
Facebook.
Gang raping a teenage girl live on Facebook.
Says the assault watched by dozens live on Facebook.
We have a lot more to do here, and we're reminded of this this week by the tragedy in Cleveland. And we have a lot of work, and we will keep doing all we can to prevent tragedies like this from happening.
You still have on Facebook a couple of the pages that we raised with you. One is called Ban Islam, and another one is called The Truth About the Talmud.
None of these pages are expressly run by hate organizations.
So that pretty much sums up the problem. And so it's not just the text that's problematic, it's the images and the videos. So the first thing that we want to emphasize is that we are working only on the text. Now, most of these things you may or may not be able to really recognize the videos and photographs, but there's a good indicator in the comments section. So a lot of people comment on those, and you get an idea of what's happening in the on the photo or on the video. So of course, motivation is explosion of interaction over social media. So there have been huge explosion in, say, last 5 years or so. It has grown exponentially, and it's expected to grow at that rate, even greater rate. So, and there would be aggressive attacks against dissenting parties. There would also be attacks which, when you're not dissenting. So most of those incidents that the video had, they were not against some parties, but they were plainly aggressive. Right? We really want it to be done, the moderation part, by the automated system. So one is the sheer volume of it. So it's almost never scalable to have enough humans. So they had 4,500 moderators earlier, Facebook. and then they hired 3,000 more, and things doesn't really seem to improve on the front side. You cannot see the improvement visibly, right? The other very important thing is the psychological well-being of the moderators themselves. So each and every moderator that works there, they have to undergo compulsory psychological counseling because of the kind of things that they see and they undergo the kind of things that they undergo. Now, we don't really want humans to go through that, and we really want machines to do the job that humans probably should not be exposed to. They should not be doing those kind of jobs. Of course, we also want to stop suicides and killings, which are already broadcasted on these platforms. So Facebook is just one of those. It could be YouTube, it could be Twitter, it could be a lot of those other platforms where you get the idea. And of course, this will help in maintaining social media as a viable medium of communication. Now, before we get any further into this, what we did and how we did, the first thing that I want to start with is our definition of verbal aggression, because it really seems the extreme cases are easy ones. So there you could say that, no, this is absolutely not right, and these are things that should go. But it's in the middle that the whole problem lies. Which one would you want to censor? And we don't want to play censor board, right? So you censor out anything which doesn't suit your taste need not be censored. So anything which damages the social identity of the victim. These definitions are taken from previous psychological studies as well as linguistic studies on verbal aggression. So it's something which lowers the status and prestige of the victim. It upsets social equilibrium as it does this. And we have seen that it can lead to extreme behavior. Right, so we tried to draw an aggression typology before getting into the technical part of it. So how does it work, aggression? So can we have different kinds and levels of aggression which we could define? So there are two basic levels of verbal aggression, which is overt aggression and covert aggression. Overt, as the name self-explanatory, is direct attack against the victim. It makes use of commands, directives, and specific kinds of words. So one of the examples would be this. So you have thing. Okay. How did it go? Okay. So we have things like Dalal Media, and also this is like one of the. I tried really hard to find a good example which I could flash over here. So this is like one of the most sharif example, if I would say that. And then you have covert aggression, which is indirect attack against the victim. It's often packaged as insincere polite expressions, and they're generally expressed through what we call conventionalized polite structures, and it includes sarcasm and satirical attacks. Things like this. So it's a simple question on the face of it, but it's not. It's really aggressive attack against the individual. Then we have these four types of aggression based on the target of aggression. So physical threat is when you actually threaten somebody to kill or to hurt the person physically. Something like this, that I'm going to kill you, and stuff like this. Sexual threat is either it could be graphic depiction of the actual act of sex, or there could be a threat to actually carry out the act against the victim. So we'll skip the example for this, you could imagine. Identity threat is something where one or more of the identities of the victim is attacked. It could include aggression at social groups and communities. We'll come back to this. This includes a lot of more things. Non-threatening aggression is a general insults. Things like cyberbullying would come under non-threatening aggression. And it could involve something as trivial as attack for the color of your house and choice of the food. And you really don't want to censor these things. You don't want to filter these out of the social media. Now, identity aggression is again depending on which of the identities is attacked. It could be of six types. So gendered aggression is where you're attacked for fulfilling or not fulfilling one of the gender roles or by referring to your gender. Okay, so things like sarkar, chudiyan pehni hui hai, and all those stuff. So chudi refers to a particular kind of gender role that you are supposed to follow, and if you don't follow that, you are not considered good, right? Geographical aggression is something which is aimed at the victim's birthplace or current place of work, so where you belong to, and could be something as small as the locality, a street, or it could be something as big as the earth itself, and everything in between, with which you can attach your identity. Political aggression would be something directed against the political beliefs and affiliation that you have. And then there are three, these are very obvious ones. So casteist, communal, and racial aggression, you could, the self-defined one. One of the things that we also try to distinguish between aggression and abuse, they're always not the same thing. So one doesn't entail the other. So cases of banter and jocular mockery, where you have abusive constructions that are used for solidarity and not for attacking someone. And then you have the examples on the other side. So we saw a lot of those examples where it could be aggressive, but they did not contain abuse. So, but they do co-occur, and so we need to account for these also. The idea is to build a moderator which could flag and categorize aggressive content on social media, and it should be able to distinguish in between ratified and unratified aggression depending on the platform, the user preferences. There are several other criteria where something could be considered good, others not good, and so there'll be some things which would be bad for everybody, and then there are things in between. So the classification system is meant to work according to the norms and the practices in different platforms. Okay, let's come to annotation scheme. Okay, so the annotation scheme was basically those categories that we had, and so there were two levels of annotation. The first level was the three categories: covert aggression, overt aggression, and non-aggressive. And the second level would be all the 10 different categories. So everything else was on the second level. We didn't, while preparing the annotation scheme, we didn't classify several sub-levels. So there were only two levels on which the annotators were required to annotate the data. So we had this some inter-annotator agreement experiments. And so in the first experiment, there are 518 test instances, and four annotators participated. And it's not really great Krippendorf's alpha that we have. It's 4.9 for the top level aggression, so the three level aggression. But we made some changes in the guidelines, and then we had another run at this. So finally what we got was around 72% agreement among the annotators, and we continued with that then. Okay, so now Ram will come and he'll describe the data part of it.
Yep. So the data set collection was primarily through the, we sourced the data from public pages of Facebook and Twitter. One point is that they were publicly available, and the second point is that there were no legal issues in sourcing them. And the sources include pages of news channels like NDTV, ABP News, Zee, and political parties like BJP, INC and all, and certain student organizations like SFI, JNU, SU and all. And so you would expect a graph here, pie chart, showing that the Facebook data was kind of balanced. So there were equally around 43% of aggressive as well as non-aggressive things. So among the aggressive, you can see the data is quite balanced between covertly aggressive and overtly aggressive. While when you go for Twitter data, there's little skewing that the aggressive data has more of covertly aggressive and very little of overtly aggressive. And that is the distribution of the aggressive effects in Facebook. And you can see that the covertly aggressive is primarily, it's much greater than the overtly aggressive across most of the categories. And only the covertly aggressive is greater than the overtly aggressive only in, say, general non-threatening political, in those categories. And as you can see in this data, the political aggressive comments are much greater than the other categories. So this reflects the sort of things that's going on the social media, which is much more of political controversies and other things. And this is a Twitter data where you have here the primary categories seem to be political aggression, general non-threatening, and geographic aggression, and yeah, a little bit of coercion and abuses too, and the other categories are like negligible. So we wanted to show the interaction of our data with code mixing. As you can see, the green part represents the code mixing data, as in which means that much more of the data is code mixed. And very little, and next comes Hindi and then English. And you can see that in code mixed data, they are almost equally divided between non-aggressive, covertly aggressive, and overtly aggressive. And non-aggressive is slightly less than the other categories. And non-aggressive is also slightly less than the other categories in the subcategories. This sort of supports the general hypothesis or hunch that when one starts to abuse or is in an aggressive mode, one often switches to one's native tongue, and this is sort of reflected in this.
Excuse me, what is code mixed?
Code mixed, as in Hindi and English both are used in the, yeah, different, two different codes are used in. Yeah, now I'll give over to Aishwarya to talk about the experiment and results.
I will be speaking about the experiments that we conducted. So most of the data that we had was from news websites and all of that from India. So it was majorly code mix. So we wanted our model to work on code mix data, that is, which has Hindi, English, and most of the times Hindi is romanized Hindi. It's not the Devanagari script that you use. So we had about 8,800 Facebook posts that we used for training. This was again got from Crowdflower. We got our data annotated. We also had some inter-annotator agreement and all of that, which is explained before. And we kept the test for about 535 unseen comments. And from Twitter, we had about 4,700, and 542 were unseen data. For the classification, so as Professor Ritesh explained before, we had four different classifiers. Initially, it was a top-level classifier, which classifies each post as aggressive or non-aggressive. And then we broaden into the kind of aggression, if it's covertly aggressive or overtly aggressive. Overtly is if you're just being on the face and just telling it, or covertly in terms of sarcasm and all of that. We might want to flag overt aggression fast than covert aggression. And then we had, we also wanted to see a curse in abuse. That is, whenever somebody is using an abusive word or an abusive sentence, we'd want to flag it more quickly. So we wanted to have a curse in abuse classifier. And also on the basis of the threats that people pose on social media. In order of intensity, it was non-threatening first, then physical threat, sexual threat, and identity threat. Again, identity threat classes were already explained, like political or communal or racist. And then we used supervised learning approaches. We stuck with support vector machines, and we also used some deep learning methods, for example, LSTMs and CNNs. And we also used CNN and the output of the final layer of the CNN to an SVM. However, the deep learning approaches didn't work quite well, probably because our data was not good enough, and the data was not too much, and was also a little unbalanced data set. So we did away with the deep learning, and we just used handcrafted features. So these were the features that we felt were very close to our work. First was the bag of words, which we wanted to use as our baseline and test with the rest of the features. We used bigrams because some sentences that we came across were like "nahi chodunga," and this bigram is more aggressive than just one word separately. So we used word bigrams. We also used topic modeling. We used LDA and found out the topics in each class to identify what kind of topics were being discussed by aggressive posts. And we used character engrams as well, because sometimes we saw sentences like a lot of non-aggressive sentences were polite. Say it was like "kariye" and "karo," and the sentences which had "karo" were a little more aggressive than the ones which had "kariye" and all of that. Of course, there were a few outliers, but this was what was seen with a major amount of data. And we used SentiWordNet, both the Hindi version and the English version, because we wanted to understand the sentiment of that particular sentence. And a negative sentiment would naturally say that the post is more aggressive than a one which had a positive sentiment. We used emojis like the smileys and all of that in order to capture the how aggressive it is. And the most important one was the swear words lexicon. We got a dictionary of swear words, and we use them as features, and also the slang dictionary. Also, punctuation plays an important role. When you're being aggressive, you use a lot of exclamatory marks or question marks. So we also use them as features. So we had results on a binary classifier, which was about 76% for the baseline model, and our model was about 82 to 83%, which is comparable to the state of the art in our field of work, which was we had this paper on impoliteness and hate speech, and they had almost the same values. And our model worked better in terms of sentences like this, where these are words that, I mean, these are sentences that could not be captured by the bag of words model, because these words might also be used in non-aggressive cases. So, because we used topic modeling and Senti WordNet and things like that, our model worked on these. And then we had the three-class classification, covert, overt, and non-aggressive. And we saw that there was a huge drop from the two-class classification because of the complications that covert aggression brought in. When you're being covert, you're not actually using a lot of abusive words or direct implications. You're actually being a little sarcastic, so the system might get confused between non-aggressive and covert aggression. All right, so this was the binary classifier, and like I told you, our accuracy was about 81%, which is comparable to the state of the art. And this was the three-class classifier. We saw that there was a huge drop because of the addition of covert aggression. And however, it worked better than the baseline model because some sentences like these, where the bag of words couldn't identify the emoticons, our system did better. And this was the curse abuse classifier. On the curse abuse classifier, we had about 78% accuracy. Some sentences like these, where these were not mainstream curse abuse words, and when it was encountered with a new curse abuse, the bag of words model couldn't do well, but a lot of bigrams like band karega and all of that helped in our model, which helped to classify better. And then under the threat, we had about 79% accuracy, but we had low precision and recall values, majorly because of the unbalanced data set. We couldn't find a lot of physical threat on social media, and it was most of non-threatening kind of instances. So this was one of the case where the bag of words model would again fail. And words like bedbhav and the sentiment of that particular sentence would probably help in better classification. We also did this on Twitter. The previous figures that I showed you were for Facebook, and this was for Twitter. We wanted to know what is the difference between the kind of posts that are on Facebook and Twitter. We saw that on the first category, the Twitter classifier did better. It gave us about 84% compared to the 81 of Facebook. And on the second category, we saw that the performance was quite low because of the fact that Twitter had a lot of covert aggression, like it was suggested in the starting. Twitter had a lot of covert aggression sentences, and that's why these results. And then the curse versus abuser was almost comparable to Facebook, and also the identity threat. And also, we wanted to check how each of these classifiers would work on the other kind of a data set. So what we did is we tested the Facebook classifier on the Twitter data and the Twitter classifier on Facebook. It can be observed that the Facebook classifier did quite well on Twitter data, and the Twitter classifier couldn't do much well, probably because the length of characters on Twitter is quite less and the kind of hashtags it uses. So Facebook sort of generalized better than the Twitter classifier. So this was the kind of errors that our system was making that we'd probably want to work after this workshop and try to set right. One was the context-based errors, where the context is required to understand if it's really aggressive or not. That is, you have to probably scroll up to the previous comments and try to understand what is going on. And the second one was it was trying to overlearn some things. For example, the model saw a lot of sentences with overt aggression with respect to this party, and when we just said BJP ka support karo, it thought it was overtly aggressive, which is not right, and we have to neutralize such kind of errors. And since we had an imbalanced data set, sometimes it was giving the majority as the output, so we'd probably have to bring in more data, and we are collecting data, and we have to feed our system with that. And there is some kind of aggression that requires societal knowledge, which the machine cannot understand. For example, police to sabhi jagah waise hi hai, and that can be understood only if you know about the police, the history of that country, etc. And sometimes it couldn't understand subtle aggression, so we'd also have to feed in more sentences of subtle instances for our classifier to understand. As we go ahead, we'd like to broaden into the six kinds of identity threats. We'd probably want to get more data on these kind of identity threats and understand how to further classify them. And we're also collecting more data so that the imbalance of the data set is neutralized. And also use deep neural networks in order to classify better. And as of now, we have a demo which gets Facebook posts from a public page, and it can do these three kinds of classification. So we've developed a Facebook plugin, and we'd want to go further and make our system better. And Pura will explain the demo.
Yes, so I'll show the demo that we've prepared. So right now we have two features that we have put. You can see we can test each sentence and we can test for a Facebook page. So because our aim is to flag things on social media, we've added this feature of Facebook pages. So now if you enter the name of a Facebook page, then it'll take the live top comments from the Facebook page. For now, we've put the limit to 5 and then it'll flag those comments. So I'll show you, for instance, I'll show Kamal Khan's page. So we've used the Facebook SDK that is available. So if you can see, it chooses 5 comments. Like example for bio request hai, ek bar sabhi unfollow kar do, iski aukaat pata chal jayegi. So this is a comment that was there on one of the posts of Kamal R. Khan, and then it classifies it into the 3 classes, which is overtly aggressive, it is not a curse, and it is non-threatening. We can also try another Facebook page. We can try the Facebook page of AIB. So it picks out the comment. So suppose if we see this comment like report abused Dinchak Pooja equal to Desh ke liye kuch kiya infinite points. So probably many people would believe that, okay, you should actually report Dinchak Pooja, but it is covertly aggressive towards the public, the figure of Dinchak Pooja. So it is covertly aggressive, it is not a curse or abuse, and it is non-threatening. I can show the sentence-based classifier also. So if we enter a sentence, so if the sentence is tujhe Kejriwal se compare karna, uski bezati hai. So it is covertly aggressive towards the person that is the comment to which the comment is addressed, and it is not a curse or abuse, and it is non-threatening. So these are the classifiers that we've run. If anyone else wants to try any sentence, you are welcome, or any page if you know the page ID. Okay. Let's try. Suggest a name if you want. Okay. Manojit, okay. Okay, so it is. So then, Manojit, probably you need to have more fame now. Okay. Any other sentence that you. What is mild for you? Stupid. Yeah.
So even in Facebook, what a stupid opinion you have, or like what a dumb guy you are.
I don't think you should flag.
Even on Facebook, if you write what a stupid opinion you have, I think you should flag that asset.
Yeah, because that is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it shows non-aggressive. Yeah, because I don't think this should be flagged because this is like a general comment.
It doesn't really work well with the English data. So English was really less amount of data.
Okay. Any else? Anyone else?
The same sentence.
I cannot hear you.
Let's say initially you say you are beautiful, then you say you're agreed.
Yeah. So it depends on how the sentence is framed. I think if you say you are beautiful, comma, you're ugly, it'll be non-aggressive. Because I don't think you're attacking the person there, right? Like, even for a human, if I say that you're beautiful, you're ugly, you won't understand what I'm meaning, right? So I think I can try that. Yeah. I'll try. Yeah, it shows non-aggressive.
So maybe a more general comment. You said when the humans were working on the data, you had 72% agreement about what was aggressive and what was not.
Yeah.
I mean, is there an acceptable limit? Even we can't agree on what exactly it should be. Is there any goal in mind? I mean, the ultimate goal is to analyze and then give that information to a moderator to help their job or to do it automatically. So is there a golden standard or some?
Yeah, so for aggression, I don't think we have anything before. But for politeness, so we had around 85% agreement among the speakers for English. So 72% was, so if we take that experiment was again for binary classification. So we had polite and impolite. So for binary classification, we would have that kind of agreement. But if it's three-way classification, it obviously goes. We do have a lot of really nasty and aggressive stuff coming. So the problem is precisely that Facebook is not able to filter out.
Yeah, and one more thing.
Unless it becomes a huge media story. But besides those, there are hundreds of things that's happening out there and Facebook is not able to take care of.
I think lots of individuals would like to have it as well. I mean, if you're a prolific Twitter user, for example, a journalist or you're a woman journalist or something, and then you're facing so much of abuse, maybe you want to set your settings slightly lower. Yeah. You want to say, okay, filter out even things which are
remotely aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to get a filter on top of Twitter.
So then, we can
the plugins, right?
Yeah, we can tune the parameters
so
in such a way. Tune their own personal parameters so that on their profile. And answering your question, previous question, so here we are mainly working on comments. So Facebook normally blocks posts, it blocks videos, it blocks photos. But the comments on a probably nice post, I don't think Facebook has a mechanism to block those. So right now we are picking out the comments from the Facebook posts and videos or photos, whatever, which are being flagged. So like the Facebook page feature also, it picks out the top comments from the recent posts. That is the live post. So I don't think Facebook has a mechanism to filter out the comments. It has a mechanism to filter out the posts and stuff.
Yeah, in fact, if the Guardian video is really right, so and
the podium mic also.
Yeah,
it works.
So the idea is. I read in those Facebook files that they remove the photographs, but if it comes with a caption, the caption is not removed. So I don't think they are really filtering out the text at this moment. They are much more burdened with the photographs and the videos and stuff.
So how do you position your work with the state of the art in this area?
State of the art?
In this area, I mean, on this topic.
Yeah, so what we went through was, so we didn't get really a lot of things on aggression per se, but there have been, so I read, there had some works on cyberbullying, and so it works reasonably well in combat. So they had 0.53 for the same three classes. So they had mild cyberbullying and overt cyberbullying and non-cyberbullying, and so it was 0.5 F1 score that they got. And so we got a very recent paper on the mean birds would. So that was, they talked about aggression and cyberbullying both taken together. And so they had 0.43 as their iPhone score. So the current performance of the system is definitely improves upon the current of state of the art that we have. But we would still really like to go save. I would say a very good score would be something around 0.75 to 0.8. So that's what works best for things like politeness. So, for binary politeness classifier, it works for around 0.8283. So maybe if we could get that for three class classification, that would be.
Is there a reason you haven't used word vectors?
Oh. No, we did try. So one of the things is also the so word vectors, they seem to get all the bias of the data. And so if we have an imbalanced data set, it doesn't really work well. And so, and we really don't know how to filter out the bias, because if we end up filtering out too many biases, then the word vectors becomes unusable.
No, I was also curious about how language, Indian language word vectors work and whether they're...
So
it was quite interesting because... And that's why we probably eliminated them, is when we tried words like Kanhaiya, it said Deshdrohi, Congressi, and all of that. We didn't want the system to learn such kind of inferences. But there were also other things that it could be used for. That is, a lot of word variations were also being captured. When I said Kanhaiya, along with those two, we also had other word variations of that.
You're talking about training your own word vectors.
Yes,
we haven't used pre-trained word vectors.
No, because they didn't work quite well. Because most of our data was Hindi code mixed, and we didn't get really good results.
Okay.
We tried using FastX, Clove, and Word2Vec. Three of them performed quite bad.
So this was like first training of the Facebook data. The data that we had, because there were around
25 million comments and data set that it was trained on. The word vectors.
And we even thought of using the embeddings for machine learning classifiers. We thought of doing the average and all. But I went through some papers and they all meant that if we just average the word embedding, they're basically using the bag of words model, because we are losing the order in which they're coming. So we didn't use that even. We tried with word embeddings, as she said, we tried with Glove, FastX, and Word2Vec. Glove was giving us good results, but the bias was coming in.
Does Glove have Indian language?
In reality, we have a lot of data with us, though not annotated. We have around like 25 lakh sentences with us, posts which was created from public pages. But annotated, we had 9,000 sentences only. So we trained the word embeddings on that whole data set. When we tried using the most similar words, even writing Kanhaiya gave us Deshdrohi, which was giving a bias towards the data set which we have. And finally, we avoided using that as such. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
So what was technically the most challenging part of this work?
Okay, so almost every part of it. So for the top level, the covert aggression was the thing that, it still doesn't really handle it well. So there are a few instances which we gave in the demo, but then for large part, it doesn't really work. And then of course, one of the major problem was the imbalanced data set for all the others. So there's not much of physical threat that you get on Facebook comments. At least we didn't get in our data. And so if we want to, and that's one of the critical things that we want to do. We want to identify physical threats and separate that. But that, so it's so imbalanced that, so there are only 50 threats in 8,000 data sets. So it's really difficult to, so SVMs are known to work with imbalanced data set. We tried SVMs and we tried feature weighting, we tried undersampling, oversampling, all the regular techniques that you do with this, but it doesn't really seem to work quite well.
So has this work resulted in anything generic that could be used in other related problems or other domains and so on?
So we have the annotated corpus that could be used for testing the. So we have around 20,000 Facebook comments and 15,000 tweets that have been annotated with these levels. So that could be used for further experiments and all. And I don't know, models maybe, but models cannot really be. generic.
As such, aggression is a superset of a lot of things. So work has been done on politeness. It has been done on hate speech. You can just say that it is like a superset or a superseding of all these factors coming into the picture. Politeness, if you're being impolite, generally you are aggressive, generally. So it's like a superset of all these factors which are coming into the picture. And getting aggressive into the picture, we could like work out and then so further divide into each of these also and look into it later.
Yeah, so theoretical part would be one of the things. So aggression is very little understood. So it's not just in NLP, it's also in general in linguistics. Aggression is something which people have now started to understand. So we tried to make a contribution towards that. So typology of aggression is one thing which could be, which could not be only be used, but it could be examined and you could actually see if that typology works or not. So.
The Senti wordnet is available in Hindi also.
Yeah.
Maintained by
Pushpak.
It's actually released by Pushpak Bhattacharya's group, and it is in Hindi, Devanagari Hindi. We transliterated it and used it.
So you don't have any contributions back to either that or the slang?
No. We so got the slang and the
but we did add there's a slang, so that's different. Senti wordnet is different. We still didn't add anything to that, but to the slang dictionary, yes, definitely we have extended that slang dictionary, because the comments are marked for abuse and there are quite a lot of those that are not there in the slang dictionary.
Have you guys used anything to do with sentiment analysis? I've heard quite a bit about sentiment analysis in Twitter feeds. Is there any algorithms that are used there that are applicable to what you guys are working on?
So the techniques that people use for sentiment analysis, have we used? So these are the more or less the things that people use. So and they have the label. So for supervised learning, these are the kind of things that people use. Yeah, so there have been, so we have been informed by sentiment analysis also for this.